This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the September 14, 2012 podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. I'm Natalie Pincham. The article topics in this podcast are Chiari malformation type 1, epilepsy, the peripheral nerve, and glioblastoma. Normalization of hindbrain morphology after decompression of Chiari malformation type 1. A clinical article by John Heiss and colleagues. To assess changes in hindbrain morphology after surgery, the authors prospectively studied 48 patients with Chiari malformation type 1 using MRI performed before and 3 to 6 months after extra-arachnoidal craniocervical decompression. They measured the dimensions of posterior fossa structures and evaluated features of hindbrain deformity, including tonsillar ectopia, pointed cerebellar tonsils, cervicomedullary protuberance, and inferior displacement of the bulbopontine sulcus. The findings in these patients were compared to findings in a control group of 18 healthy volunteers. In the Chiari 1 patients before surgery, the clivus and basi occiput were shorter, and cerebrospinal fluid pathways were narrower than normal. The cerebellar tonsils were ectopic and usually pointed. The bulbopontine sulcus was inferiorly displaced, and a cervicomedullary protuberance was present in most patients. By 3 to 6 months after surgery, the cerebrospinal fluid pathways had expanded ventrally and dorsally. The pointed tonsils had become round, the cervicomedullary protuberance had disappeared, and tonsillar ectopia had diminished by one half. The deformities of the cerebellar tonsils and brainstem, characteristic of the Chiari malformation, resolved after craniocervical decompression, supporting the concept that type 1 Chiari malformation is an acquired malformation arising from pulsatile impaction of the cerebellar tonsils into the foramen magnum, rather than a primary malformation stemming from aberrant development of the neural elements. Hybrid peripheral nerve sheath tumor. A case report by Shi-Shan Lang and co-authors. In this paper, the authors describe a previously unreported case of a rare hybrid peripheral nerve sheath tumor. The patient described in the case report had multiple hybrid nerve sheath tumors with features of neurofibromas and schwannomas along numerous nerves. She underwent multiple tumor resections throughout her entire body. She did not have features of neurofibromatosis type 1 or 2 or schwannomatosis. The patient tested negative for germline mutations, and her tumor tested negative for somatic mutations in NF1. The authors believe that this case represents a previously unreported multiple nerve sheath tumor syndrome, presumably due to a germline mutation. Advances in massively parallel sequencing will allow the identification of underlying inherited mutations in such patients in the near future. Efficacy of vagus nerve stimulation in post-traumatic versus non-traumatic epilepsy. A clinical article by Dario Englot and co-workers. In the US, approximately 500,000 individuals are hospitalized yearly for traumatic brain injury. Post-traumatic epilepsy is a common sequela of traumatic brain injury and is often resistant to anti-epileptic medications. Vagus nerve stimulation, or VNS, is an adjunctive treatment for medically refractory epilepsy. Its role in post-traumatic epilepsy has been poorly studied. Using a case-control study design, the authors of this study compared seizure outcomes after VNS therapy in 317 patients with post-traumatic epilepsy versus 1,763 individuals with non-traumatic epilepsy. The patients were obtained from a large prospectively collected patient registry. At 24 months after VNS therapy, patients with post-traumatic epilepsy demonstrated a 73% reduction in seizure frequency, whereas those with non-traumatic epilepsy had 57% fewer seizures. This difference was statistically significant. Overall, there was a 78% rate of clinical response among patients with post-traumatic epilepsy 24 months after VNS therapy. Clinical response was defined as a more than 50% reduction in seizure frequency. The response rate among patients with non-traumatic epilepsy was 61%. The difference in these response rates was significant, leading to improved seizure outcomes on the Engel classification scale. The authors conclude that vagus nerve stimulation may be considered in patients with medically refractory post-traumatic epilepsy who are not good candidates for resection. A controlled prospective trial is necessary to further examine seizure outcomes. Extent of resection in patients with glioblastoma, limiting factors, perception of resectability, and effect on survival. A clinical article by Daniel Oringer and colleagues. The authors report a retrospective review of 46 patients with glioblastomas. They identified demographic, tumor-related, and technical factors that influence extent of resection. The authors also define the relationship between the surgeon's impression of extent of resection and true extent of resection, as determined by postoperative MRI. The average extent of resection in the cohort was 91%. Deep tumor location and involvement of eloquent structures negatively impacted extent of resection. When surgeons thought that gross total resection had been achieved, the radiographically determined extent of resection was 97.4%. However, only 30% of patients in whom surgeons believed that resection was complete truly had radiographically complete resections. Expert raters classified 1/3 of the tumors in this study to be safely resectable. Surprisingly, among patients with safely resectable tumors, radiographically complete resection was achieved less than 25% of the time. The authors conclude that there is justification for the use and development of technologies designed to improve extent of resection in glioma surgery. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.